So, a talk this morning about Jesus teaching at a Jewish feast. Now, going by the comments we had last week, I think at this point I'd like to go and sit down, because I was told I did much shorter messages. That would have been the shortest message you'd ever had, but don't worry, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hear presently how somebody put an opinion about Jesus. They said, no one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. And I think that's by and large true. What defined a public figure before social media entered the conversation? At its most basic, a public figure can be someone who is a politician, celebrity, or business leader. An alternate definition is that public figures are those that have thrust themselves into the forefront of a particular public controversy to influence the resolution of the issues involved. But these vague definitions hardly narrow down the exact qualifications of a public figure. And perhaps that's just how it will be from now on. The dimensions of fame have expanded to include those who are famous for doing nothing. Just by the content they post and the followers they attract, there are thousands of helpful tips and online articles on how you can become famous through social media and how to become verified on the different social media platforms. This seems to imply that fame isn't quite as selective anymore, and that there are many paths available for those seeking any level of fame to warrant the title of a public figure. But we're going to read and hear about a public figure in our reading, John chapter 7, verses 1 to 24. John chapter 7, verses 1 to 24, and Judy's going to come out and read it. Thank you.
You will find this Bible reading in the Church Bible on page 1071. So the reading is from John chapter 7, verses 1 to 24. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders were there looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore, Jesus told them, "My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I'm not going up to the festival because my time has not yet fully come." After he said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, "Where is he?" Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, "He is a good man." Others replied, "No, he deceives the people." But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the leaders. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having been taught?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? You are demon-possessed, the crowd answered. Who is trying to kill you? Jesus said to them, I did one miracle and you are all amazed. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses but the patriarchs, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly.
Thank you. Did Jesus' brothers really want to have him as a public figure, an influencer? It appears that they were perhaps a bit cynical or maybe embarrassed and did not believe what Jesus had to say about himself, and were perhaps confused by the way that he did talk about himself to others. They did at one point think he was losing his mind. Jesus did want to go to the feast, but not in such a public fashion as could be expected of him. So he went a bit later. The Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Booths and Sukkot, is the seventh and last feast that God commanded Israel to observe, and one of the three feasts that Jewish men were to observe every year by going to appear before the Lord your God in a place where he shall choose. That's from Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. And they were to give a sacrifice. The rest of the family would come too. The Feast of Tabernacles took place on the 15th of the Hebrew month Tishri. This was the seventh month on the Hebrew calendar and usually occurred in late September to mid-October. The feast began 5 days after the Day of Atonement, and at the time the autumn harvest had just been completed. So it was a time for Jews to get together, to remember how God was looking after them and how he had looked after them in the 40 years of wandering. It was a joyful celebration, and this was to happen in Jerusalem, all living in temporary shelters or booths as part of the requirements of the feast, to remind them of the time when they had to live in tents. During the 8-day period, so many sacrifices were made that it required all 24 divisions of priests to be present to assist in the sacrificial duties. This was a commemoration and a time of instruction for those that attended. As it was after harvest, Jews from all over the place would come to Jerusalem to celebrate this. And this would be a time of joy as they talked about what God had done for them. And it would be a time of teaching, an opportunity for the rabbis and teachers to help the people to understand more about their history and God's purposes for them and goodness to them. These rabbis and teachers would have been those that had gone to university effectively, and so were highly educated. They would also refer to the writings and words of other scribes and rabbis and get their authority from all the writings. Imagine everyone's surprise when Jesus appeared and began to teach. Jesus hadn't been to any of their recognized schools, any of the schools of learning, so how did he know so much? Remember the amazement of the teachers about 18 years before, when Jesus' parents lost him and he was found in the temple talking to teachers of the law and amazing them with his questions and answers. The same thing happened again at the Feast of Tabernacles. I suppose that no one remembered the young boy who had come to them, and no realization that this man, Jesus, was the same person. But the question remains, how did he get such learning? Where did he get his teaching? What baffled the Jewish authorities was the authoritative nature of Jesus' teaching without formal training. Normally, a teacher of God's law would also use and refer to other teachers' thoughts and opinions about what the scriptures meant. In answer, Jesus pointed to the true nature of his teaching. It is not his own, but God's. It could be verified by anyone who desired to do God's will. It was not based on self-seeking. It was based on seeking God's honor and was therefore true. There are other places where Jesus affirmed where he got his authority from. In John chapter 12, verse 49, he says, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken." Also in John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Perhaps one more verse to confirm all this. John chapter 8, verse 28. Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." This is a confirmation of all that Jesus said and all the promises that were made and recorded concerning him in the Old Testament. So Jesus only says what the Father has given him to say. People were impressed with Jesus' teaching, though he taught not to gain honour for himself, but to bring glory to God, who had sent him. If people loved God and wanted to do his will, they would see that what Jesus taught was of the truth of God. The Jewish authorities accused Jesus of breaking the law, because on a previous occasion, he had healed a man on the Sabbath. But Jesus responded that they themselves did not hesitate to circumcise a child on the Sabbath, which was also part of their law. The law that they thought was being broken was the law of rest and not to work. The fourth commandment was this in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns." The Sabbath was a sign of the covenant between God and the Israelites for each generation, and anyone failing to observe the Sabbath showed their contempt for the special relationship established between God and Israel. This legislation doesn't require rest as much as it tells you to stop working, interrupting the normal activities of one's occupation. Before the Israelites had left Egypt, they were slaves and worked all the time. This habit would have stayed with them in the 40 years of wandering, but during that time they were given the Sabbath. The Sabbath made space to think, to reflect, and to worship God. God rested on the seventh day from his work of creation, but Jesus did say that his Father was still working. In John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." Unfortunately, the religious authorities have made it more complicated by defining what was work. Carrying a mat was thought to be work. Healing was work, but preparing sacrifices was okay, and other rituals like circumcision. This was plainly ridiculous, as they would rescue a sheep or a cow on the Sabbath, but healing, no. As Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 24, "Stop judging by mere appearances, and instead judge correctly." As has been seen elsewhere, or has been said elsewhere, Jesus would not be able to do miracles unless he came from God. God is consistent with what he says and does. And if the priests had to work on the Sabbath, it must be right to do miracles on that day also. A circumcision which wounds was permitted on the Sabbath. Then surely Jesus' action in making someone whole by healing must be right also. Now, we're going to look at a picture of an iceberg. You think, what on earth is this to do with what we've just been talking about? Well, much of an iceberg is below the water surface, which led to the expression the tip of the iceberg, to illustrate a small part of a larger unseen issue. Icebergs are considered a serious maritime threat and hazard. Typically, about one-tenth of the volume of an iceberg is above water. The shape of the underwater portion can be difficult to judge by looking at the portion above the surface. Just to illustrate something, there's a little video here of an iceberg. It's collapsing, but all is not quite what it seems. View from a boat there, they're safely far away from the iceberg. And then somebody spots something. As one bit crumbles, another bit rises from out of the water. Just think, if you just positioned it around that side, the boat would have been wrecked by the iceberg. Very dangerous. Look beneath the surface, Jesus says, to focus on the deeper aspects of something as opposed to the things that are most easily identified. Jesus said, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. Look beneath the surface of the issue. Make sure that you are not sunk by the metaphorical icebergs that you come across in your life as you walk with Jesus. How do we see Jesus? I don't mean a picture. I don't mean what he looked like, but what was he? Nicodemus said that he knew that Jesus was a teacher who had come from God, for no one could perform the signs that Jesus was doing if God were not with him. In other words, Jesus had authority from God in what he said and did. We've been looking at the teaching of Jesus and the authority he had for saying these things. What authority do we have when we talk to people about Jesus? And why do we seek to do what is right? Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples, that is to speak the gospel, and when someone comes to Jesus for salvation, we show them how they should live as someone who belongs to the family of God. The authority of the believer comes from God and from God's word. As we are God's ambassadors, we can speak with his authority as we share his word, appealing to the world on behalf of Christ. We wield the sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God, a mighty weapon forged by God for our use. We are ambassadors. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21, all this is the gift of God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. All this is so that we could be made right with God, but only through Jesus Christ. And so as an ambassador of Jesus, I would say to any who don't know him, look into who Jesus is and turn to him so that you can be made right with God.